Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
The time has come to part my love. I must go away. I leave you now, my darling girl. No longer can I stay. My heart, like yours, is breaking. Together we'll prove strong. The road I take will show the world the suffering and that goes on. And the bandar.
Welcome to Free State, everybody. This is part three of the life and turbulent times of Christy Moore. On this episode, we look at the songs of Christy, the songs that were banned for very many different reasons, the songs that captured the public's imagination and the people who have influenced them and who he has worked with. And we begin by talking about one of the most important influences and most important relationships in Christy's life with somebody who grew up half a mile away from him, Mr. Donal Lunny.
One stage you sang just a song with the Boron the other night at the concert.
Well, the old Boron is great, yeah.
And it's this...
The old goatskin, you can't beat it.
Yeah, it's very...
It was Donal Lunny taught me my first chords on guitar, and he also taught me how to play the Boron. You know, he's been a huge influence on my life.
How far was Donal Lunny, how far did he grow up from you?
Half a mile.
It's incredible, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, half a mile. And we were in the same class for a while together, and then he went, he got so badly fucking treated in Newbridge College by particular priests that he left and went up the town to the Patrician Brothers, and they appreciated him, and he blossomed right. When he went up the town, you know. His talent was not recognised in Newbridge College,
yeah,
but it was recognised in the Patrician School.
Yeah, in some places, you know, talent was resented.
Yeah.
Now some people, you know, feelings of jealousy and of people getting above their station, that would have been a big thing.
And musically, his talent was...
From the very beginning, you
know. Who were the great guitarists that accompanied you, you know, during your voyage?
Declan Sinnott, Donal Lunny, Steve Cooney, Artie McGlynn.
Oh, Artie McGlynn from Strabane.
Yeah, Artie.
Oh, my God, what a player.
Artie played on that album when I did the Stardust song. What? And he also, that riff that Ordinary Man... I'm an ordinary man, nothing special, nothing grand. I had to work for everything I own. I mean, Artie was all over that song. Yeah. His rhythm, he drove it, you
and
know.
And he was such a background presence. I mean, never, you know, it was always about the singer. I mean, did Brady accompany you ever?
Myself and Brady played together for a short time in Planxty.
Jeez, he was a brilliant guitarist. Yeah.
When I left Planxty... Yeah. Paul came in, but we played together for a while. Great guitar player.
Oh, I mean,
but you know what? A great singer. Yeah. He sings. He's when he lets go. I saw him one night in Vicar Street. Roseanne Cash was playing, and she brought him out to do the 40 Shades of Green. Fucking hell. When he lets go, and when he lets all, when he really opens up, he can sing, that boy.
But he can't sing like you.
Nobody Jesus, can sing like
anybody. Jesus, he can handle a guitar. And what an unbelievable musician.
Yeah.
I mean, he can play anything.
He's class, yeah. Whistle, mandolin.
Yeah. And, I mean, he brought a lot of those songs to life. you know, Arthur McBride and stuff like that. That would be very difficult for a person to do unless you had his ability on the guitar.
Yeah.
Because he creates a symphony around the song.
Yeah.
Like, it's effortless.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary to watch, isn't it?
Oh no, he's one of the, he's one of the main men, you know.
Yeah. There must be very few of those great musicians and singers that you haven't
Oh, along the way, I've met up with. I've been blessed in my life. Like, to play in Planxty and to play in Moving Hearts was to me like going to university and then going on ahead and doing a master's, because I was learning all the time.
Yeah, it was our Berlin Philharmonic.
But in both those bands, Planxty and Moving Hearts, I was the least musician, you know. But I sang, and also, one very important thing, I formed the bands. Yeah. I got them going. I pulled them together. But the musicianship in Planxty, Liam O'Flynn, Andy Irvine, Donald Lunny.
Andy Irvine.
You know.
I mean, Andy Irvine could get a tune out of a tin bath. Yeah. No, that's not a joke.
No, it's true.
I mean, he could make an... I have absolutely no doubt he could.
And you know what?
He's like Caractacus as Potts and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He could just make an instrument.
He's in his 80s now and he's still out on the road doing it. He's still out playing. I think as we speak, he's somewhere tonight anyway playing.
Is he?
He's still going.
Yeah. But sure, you'll be like that.
I know, but I couldn't do the tour as Andy does.
Aye, but, you know, I think that other people are helping you to make those decisions as well. You know, you would probably go out every night.
No.
Peter Egan says to me, I'm not letting him go out every night. Absolutely not.
Talk to me about those live shows, because one of the things...
Which shows do you?
Just playing in front of an audience, because one of the things I notice from seeing you over the last 2 years, and I said earlier how every show is different, but your feel for how to bring the audience with you. I remember seeing you in Dunleary one night, and I think you'd played in Galway the Friday night before, and you started off, and after two songs, I think you stopped and you said, "Jesus, I played to 2,000 people on Friday night and I thought I was still there. I need to slow this
pull
down.
Back a bit.
Pull
yeah.
back a bit."
Yeah, yeah.
And what are you thinking there? What are you thinking, that you've got to do something different for that audience?
No, I think what would happen there is I would realise is I was totally over the top the way I was going out. You know, I was putting too much out.
Yeah.
But like one of the things I love to do is when I say I'm going up to play in Derry or I'm going to play in Galway or I'm going to play at Lone, I spend a few days before thinking about things that might be relevant. Mm-hmm. Have I got any song that will tie in with the region there? Are there any characters? And that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And I love doing it, you know, making local contacts and context and contacts.
But you also have that great feel for the kind of popular mood, like the way you'll change... or, you know, adapt lyrics. I think you've got new sort of RTE lyrics even for, Delirium Tremens, but even with the COVID, the verse about the COVID regulation, every time you sing that and you sing that verse about, I dreamt I was a member of the elite.
You'll have to give us a blast of Delirium Tremens. Even for my brother, Prunches, who just loves the song and he's a terrific guitarist. He just loves it.
I dreamt I was over in Clifton. I was having a round of golf. A four ball with Phil Hogan, Donny Cassidy and Shammy Wolf. I dreamt I was a member of the elite golf society and COVID lockdown regulations had fuck all to do with me. And then I dreamt... What did I dream after that? Oh, jeez, I can't remember.
Well, give us a blast of the original quote.
Oh, God, oh, good mate to port and brandy, to the vodka and the steak, to the smith dick and the harpic and the bottle draft and keg. As I sat looking up at the Guinness that I could never figure out how your man stood up on the surfboard after 14 pints of stout. Well, I dreamt I was in Spike Island. I dreamt I was in Longcash. I dreamt I was booked to play cabaret at the Fine Gael Ardèche. Leo Varadkar kept heckling, "We want Kylie Minogue." So I gave him Kevin Barry and a blast of Boulevard, and we went, "Goodbye." Thank you.
It's the voice, isn't it? It just, as soon as you hear it,
But I love that. And I love the way you, it just gets that response each time, you know, it kind of, there's a elemental connection. Like when you sing the COVID verse, everywhere you sing it, you just, and it always reminds you, it's like, okay, people feel these things. And again, maybe that's what we've been talking about all, like you understand what people are, what hurts people, what hurts the ordinary. And, you know, and maybe like that's a fun song and it's a good laugh, but at the same time.
Oh, you can get little bits in, you know. I was trying to get, this morning, I dreamt that Helen McEntee was a guard on the beat. With her baton and her taser gun, she was walking down Talbot Street. I've only got that far in that one.
You could release that as a single. They'd probably ban it.
How many songs have been banned? I was trying to draw up a list before you came in.
Well, you don't know, do you see? Because sometimes with a song, with certain songs, they'll say, oh, it's not banned, we just don't play it. But it hasn't been banned. But like, a song cannot have greater publicity than to be banned.
Sure, I mean, when the Wolftones sang, that Conor Cruise O'Brien had that band and RT wouldn't play it.
Yeah.
But like, and they sold, I think they sold 100,000 singles the following in the following fortnight. It's like the Free Presbyterians demonstrating against a nudie film, you know, a film that's sort of a lot of nudity and that is salacious. I mean, it's guaranteed to be a success. Yeah.
But some of them were banned, kind of, The Time Has Come was banned, so like almost not immediately.
Well, Eamon McCann blew that. They were playing The Time Has Come on the radio until Eamon McCann inadvertently told them it was about hunger strike.
He did a review, he reviewed it.
I think so, yeah.
Tell the story, because we'd have a lot of younger listeners who wouldn't know about the broadcasting ban and about the, you know, the embargo on Sinn Féin or anyone from the Republican movement being in the area.
Basically, Conor Cruise.
So tell the story.
Which story now do you want?
About the song being banned.
Well, basically, I wrote a song. I always had this thing after the hunger strike that the people who kind of forgotten about was the terrible struggle of the families, of the mothers and the wives who had promised their sons and their husbands and their brothers that they wouldn't take them off the hunger strike when they lapsed into unconsciousness. And afterwards, the time, as you know, Donal Lunny wrote the melody to this. The time has come to part my love. I must go away. I'll leave you now, my darling girl. No longer can I stay. My heart like yours is breaking. Together we'll prove strong. The road I take will show the world the suffering that goes on. And they banned that.
Because it was about Patsy O'Hara.
Sympathetic.
Because it was about a hunger striker dying and his mother having to,
I should say to you,
let
that,
him off.
You know, Kevin Lynch was the captain of our Hurling team. Yeah. He lost his life, gave his life. And so my mother rang me this evening to say, please do not forget to tell Christy that that Kevin's sister, Brady, sends all her love and respect. Oh. And to this day, she crosses over from where the family live, exactly opposite the chapel, and puts fresh flowers on the grave to this day.
Wow.
And so she sends her love and respect. And
I send it back to her.
And you have a very special place in our hearts in Dungiven.
They took away Horse and McCreesh, MacDonald and McIlwee. Oh, Harry Hughes, Lynch, Devine, Sands and Doherty. In Camlock, Billahi, Dungiven, the Bogside, Belfast and Tyrone, where the gerrymandered people rose up never again to lie down. We'll sing it now, come on now. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show tears or fears in the morning. No time for goodbye no time to ask why. And the sound of the sirens, the cry of the morn. That was a new verse. I wrote that verse to mark the 40th anniversary. The original song was No Time for Love, written by Jack Warshaw, an American. And he allowed me to turn it into a bit of an Irish song. And
we have these, we have too few of them, but these extraordinary people in Irish life, you know. Bobby Balla.
Bobby, yeah.
He's another one like you. Refused ever to compromise.
Keeps going.
No compromise. Mm. You know, and I think that when you get to your age, you look at your lightness of step and your serenity now, you know, and I think that that's the clear,
well, a lot of that now, in fairness, that's to do with walking the pier with Dion Fanning. That's where my serenity comes from.
I get Joe doesn't like to hear that because, you know, he doesn't consider me.
Well, I mean, you know what I think of Dion, but it's that.
No, I don't actually.
It's that thing which.
I don't know what you think of Dion.
Do you not?
No.
Go on.
It's not a psychotherapy session. but it's very similar. It's Bobby, you know, Bobby had the tragedy of losing his beloved wife.
Yeah.
And he converted two wee artisans' cottages into one, and that's where they lived. And you'll have been in the house, but the walkway that you walk through, it's like a very dramatic corridor that runs right through the wee cottages. And he's turned it into a tableau about his life with his wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took her wedding ring and made an earring from it, wears it all the time. And like yourself, has always been absolutely, fearlessly honest and courageous.
Yeah.
I don't mean honest in the sense of not ever, you know, I mean integrity, proper honesty.
I love that program with Noel Brown. That program,
it's brilliant.
It was really brilliant.
And you know, they won't put the Noel Brown up in the National Gallery now. You know, so all the politics, because Bobby's politics are wrong. You know, he supported the movement. Yeah. And Bobby did the painting of Kevin Lynch.
Yeah.
You know, he did the Bloody Sunday tableau, which I'm so fortunate to have a copy of.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you, actually. I'll give it to you. You'd love it. You know, the Bloody Sunday tableau. I know the one, Guernica.
Yeah.
I've got one, so. I'll get your details off Dan, because I think you'd love to have it in your studio. But we're very fortunate to have people like that. Bobby's going to come into us as well.
Great.
Aye, he's brilliant. I mean, he's, you know what he's like.
He's a lovely man.
He's there's no, you know, again, he's just one of us. For all his, you know, extravagant dress sense and all his, you know, glorious sort of, you know, he's one of us, and that's the most important thing in the end. And I think that's what you are.
Where it's all at.
You know, yeah.
St. Brendan's Voyage was banned by the BBC.
That's right. Yes.
For what?
Because banned St. Brendan's Voyage.
Is it right or left for Gibraltar? That was the giveaway line.
Oh, that's
and it's all based on a story about Barney McKenna. Barney McKenna spent about 10 years. Building a boat out in Howth, and eventually he got it on the water, and reputedly, as he was driving out the mouth of Howth Harbour, he said to somebody, "Is it right or left for Holyhead?" And that's where I got the idea for it. Is it right or left for Gibraltar?
And that was the end of that.
It was a gasp, because I recorded the song many years before Mairead and was shot in Gibraltar, you know. And
one of my favourite.
So they banned that as well.
Seemingly, the BBC banned the Brendan's Voyage.
And the Voyage, was banned in churches for weddings, was it?
It was.
Why was it banned for churches and weddings?
Just because it wouldn't be suitable.
It wasn't religious enough.
Yeah.
But the amount of people, including very good friends of mine, who, you know, it was their first song at their wedding, the amount of people that have that.
So. Well, Johnny Doohan gave me that song nearly 40 years ago, and I was very lucky he gave it to me. And it was a hard song to get going, and I got it going, and would you believe it? The other night there was a couple in from Alaska celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they wanted to hear The Voyage live. And they flew to Dublin and they came to Vicar Street and I sang The Voyage for them. And just stuff like that is. So thank you, Johnny Doohan.
But when you, one of my favourite bits you do when you talk at the BBC is, and I remember seeing you do it in Armagh, and there was a immediate tension because you started on the mainland.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go into...
back home in Derry.
But it's would you do on the mainland the way you do it now?
Yeah.
I love that. And just into, even into a bit of back home in Derry, which is also banned, wasn't it?
I was over in the mainland. I was doing my act in the Royal Albert Hall. It was the night before we stormed the Hackney Empire, and my adrenaline got pumping when the crowd demanded more. I couldn't sleep a wink, so I turned on to the BBC World Service. It was coming at me from New Delhi or some other long-lost colonial shore. When this lovely Englishman comes on the wireless with the most beautiful BBC clipped tone, he announced that the winner of the 1995 Nobel Prize for Literature was a British poet. Seamus Heaney from Londonderry, says he, as cool could be. By Jesus, I roared out for tea and toasted muffins and a pair of hard-boiled eggs to calm me nerves. Oh, he's never claimed George Best nor Alex Higgins. No, nor he's never claimed Balahi's other boys. But that's the way things are upon the mainland. There are queer hawks over there, I'm telling you, sucking the wee small birds' eggs dry. Oh, I wish I was back home in Derry. Oh, I wish I was back home in Derry. The words of Bobby Sands and the music of Gordon Lightfoot.
And how did you get that song?
That song was given to me in the house of Bert and Olive Barrett in Chamberlain Street in Derry after a H-Block concert in 1978. A fellow called Shamie Ferguson, who was just after being released from the blocks, carried that song out and gave it to me. And that's how I got that.
Yeah, the boys would have... I remember that because we used to get the wee letters out because my Uncle Ewan was on the blocks.
Mm.
And used to...
Cigarette paper.
Or a piece of toilet paper. Because for a while they had toilet paper.
The HM.
But you would get these letters. Be like that size.
Yeah.
Microscopic.
And the amount of writing on them.
Unbelievable. That was all they had.
Yeah, I still have some of them at home. I have some of Bobby's original comms.
Do you?
Yeah. So, yeah.
What are the songs that have surprised you?
In what way?
In that have become part of the canon, if you like, that you didn't expect, or are there songs?
Yeah. Well, I wrote Listunvarna way, way back, and I wrote it because I had to go on before Rory Gallagher at the Listunvarna Festival. And I thought, how in the name of God am I going to survive with my little guitar and 50,000 Rory Gallagher fans? So I started writing this song, and I wrote a few verses of it, and that was it. I did it. And then my manager at the time, Matty Fox, said to me, you have to record it. I said, I can't record that. Why would I record that? It's nonsense, you know. And I recorded it. And so it's...
People go out going, give us a good blast of it.
It's... Oh, it's very hard to do this now without the energy and the adrenaline. How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York, Dundalk, or Dahawk and Glenamaddy? Well, here we are in the County Clare, and it's a long, long way from here to there. There's the Burren, there's the Cliffs of Moher, there's the Tulla, and there's the Kilfenore, and Michael Russell, and Dr. Bill, and Willie Clancy, and Noel Hill, and flutes and fiddles, everywhere if it's music you want. Up Dungiven. I can't do that.
And yet,
song.
When you're doing it, you fill the auditorium. It's funny, isn't it?
I can't open my chest, you have to have the atmosphere. Yeah.
Anyone for the last few chalk ices?
Yeah, that's every now and then somebody says that to me.
Do they?
Anyone for the last few chalk ices? There's a guy who used to come down the old Hogan stand in Crow Park. and he'd have a basket around his neck and he'd have apples and pears, and then during the game he'd come down and the basket would be full of chalk ices. Anyone for the last few chalk ices now?
Is this your man, what do you call your man who was in Father Ted? Your man, the actor from MoMA, he was in Dancing at Lunasa.
He says,
do you still have the big hairy arse, Ted? Do you remember him?
Yeah.
We were going down, Michael Gambon, is it? No. Do you still have the big hairy arse, Ted? We were going down Ridgeway Street, me and the Spur Road at Lavery and Barrister Street. It was a bit like, you know, the episode of, oh, he'd love it if you said this. And Lavery shouted out, he says, do you still have the big hairy arse? He says, fuck off. He wasn't in the mood for it. He must get it all the time. McSorley, Jared McSorley.
That's right.
Yes. He was great.
He was in that film about the
Birmingham Six,
Guildford Four. Yeah. Jeez, he was so heavy in that. Yeah. No, he played the fucking detective.
He was so dark. Yeah. He was a brilliant actor.
Given all his work, I'd say the last thing he wanted was a couple of ages.
He was a brilliant actor. He was the narrator, the boy in Dancing at Lunasa.
The first time I saw Dancing at Lunasa.
Magical, wasn't it?
Powerful, yeah. And translations.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And you don't, like you mentioned Barrowlands earlier, you don't play outside Ireland.
No, I haven't for about 5 years now. I haven't been off the island.
Yeah.
And you.
You can fill venues wherever you want to go here in Ireland.
Well, I'm happy enough filling them in Dunleary.
I heard you rocked the joint in South Armagh up in the Carrickdale.
Oh, God, I love the Carrickdale. It's one of my favourite. I love that place.
Oh, yeah.
The wildness of it. Jesus, right. Great, you know.
That's the one that's on my list.
Wild.
Yeah.
He came out and he had filled his car with red diesel.
I tell them in there that the dressing room is in the UK and the stage is in the Republic.
It's not far off.
I know.
Yeah. Strategically positioned.
Some of your songs, like, do they, when you talk about education and Newbridge and stuff, like, you know, songs like Quinta Brigada, like, they've informed people about things that you didn't learn about. Like, Frank Conroy grew up
4 miles
from you.
Yeah. I never heard anything whatsoever with the Spanish Civil War in national school or secondary school. And yet one of the brigadistas who died in the Spanish Civil War was Frank Conroy from Kilcullen.
Yeah.
And it was the same, like there was things happening. I got a song recently. It's called The Darkness Before Dawn. And 100 yards from my front door, there was something happened in 1921. That's only 24 years before I was born. And I didn't hear about it until a song. But let's see if I can. The raid took place on a warm summer's night. Rebels commandeered the naffy. The store was set alight as the fire burned wild. The flame burned down upon the Doran family in the darkness before the dawn. The IRA raided the naffy store in Newbridge, not knowing there was a family asleep upstairs. And back then, when they take whatever it is they wanted from the British Army stores, they used to throw paraffin over it to destroy everything. The man upstairs came down with a candle and the whole fucking place went up and the family were burned to death. And this one verse goes, some say that rebels, they were heroes, but the town was torn apart. That raid upon the naffy blackened many hearts. The Doran family killed and maimed in the war of 1921, as freedom beckoned in the darkness before the dawn. That happened.
Yeah, and an illustration of this myth that somehow the you know, IRA campaign from sort of early 70s, really, that latest phase was somehow a lot more bloody and a lot more, you know, when in fact, murder's murder, like, and there's so many grotesque things that happened.
Even in that particular case, the volunteers who were on that were so traumatised that none of them ever were active again. They took no part in the Civil War.
And nobody ever talked about it growing up?
Nobody, and there were Dorans in the town when I was growing up. Yeah. It actually turns out, because I made inquiries, that they weren't related. Yeah. But what a powerful song, written by a guy called Pete Kavanagh from Nace. Yeah. And I'm hoping that's the first time I've actually sung it.
If you had to sing out, because you know we're so conscious of the privilege of having you here, and your very 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 precious time.
But no, Joe,
If you had a song. If you had a song to sing out the podcast, what would it be? If you had a song that you enjoyed to as a finale, you know.
Section 31 on the TV. Section 31 on the radio. Section 31 is a blindfold. Section 31 makes me feel cold. Conor Cruz. Section 31. Conor Cruz.
Conor Cruz O'Brien.
I was going to ask you to do the Snowflake song that you did at the social media.
That was awful funny about the... Because I'm getting a lot of that at the moment, you know, about from the Conor McGregor stuff, you know, from all the anonymous, you know...
Who'd you say there? Who?
God Emperor.
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor, you know the guy. Who's he? You wouldn't know him, Chris.
I know Kelly Harrington, all right, and Katie Taylor and Michael Caruth.
I get
you're
right. You're right. I feel you. I understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get a lot of these anonymous haters here, and we were really laughing at your song because I get a load of them, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Don't read them, man.
There was a guy during... I don't mind. This guy during...
He doesn't mind. He genuinely doesn't mind. Yeah, I don't read them. He doesn't mind.
You get like, you know, resting bitch face. Do you know resting bitch face?
I don't know.
Yeah, very, very nice fella. Not happy that his parents called him that, but, you know, it's, you know, and you get all this, millions of them, and it's just like, it's a torrent of just, you know, crazed abuse that they would never do. You know, you meet the person in the pub, you know. You look very familiar. You're not resting bitch face, are you? Oh, I'm not resting bitch face. I don't know what you're talking about. But we really laughed at your song because it sums it up perfectly.
That was written by Martin Leahy. And Martin Leahy plays every Thursday. He comes from Bandon in Cork. He gets the bus into Cork and travels up to Dublin. And every Thursday at 1 o'clock, he sings outside the Doll.
He does not.
Everyone should have a home. Everyone should have a home. It's a human right. It's a human right. Everyone should have a home.
Jesus, fair play to him.
And he got such stick on social media over doing that he wrote the other song.
Go on, sing us the song about the anonymous haters.
Oh, beware. Oh, beware of patriots who hate refugees and gays. They'll spill anyone's blood for Ireland as long as it's not theirs. They say they're not afraid of anything, but they never explain why, when it comes to social media, they're afraid to use their name. They're afraid to use their name. Well, they're afraid to use their name. But when it comes to social media, they're afraid to use their name. They're ready for the fight, they're ready for the war, they're ready around the clock. On Twitter, Telegram and X. Oh, fuck. I see. Oh, they say they represent us with no name and with no face. They hide behind their fake accounts like cowardly fucking snowflakes. They're afraid to use their name. I can't remember the fucking name. Anyway, yeah. As they said, I wouldn't go across to look at him. He can't, a big baldy head in him, and he can't even remember his own fucking songs.
Yeah.
Christy.
Well, I think we've had.
We have.
We don't want to push your luck. And I wondered maybe you could play us out with the city of Chicago and shout your famous line, because I never got any royalties for that, you know.
Well, before I finish up, I thank you both for inviting me into the Free State, and I think it's great what you're doing. You're challenging us all in a very positive way, and I wish you the very best for the future, Joe and Dion. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you one thing before you start this. Padder Heffron, who's a Gael Gore. He was one of the first GAA Catholics from our background to join the PSNI, and the dissident Republicans
I know
put
Brother.
A bomb under his car, blew his leg off, yeah. And he is something else. He is something else. But
he's a bit of stuff, yeah.
He rang me from one of your concerts and he says, "You're not going to believe it, Christy, where's what I have to shout?" So... We'll ask you to do this one for Padder, because he's, as you know, he's a huge admirer of yours.
Okay, Padder, here we go. And also for young Scullion up in Balai, in Bullion of Scullion. Keep the old wheelbarrow going there, Skull. In the city of Chicago, as the evening shadows fall, there are people dreaming of the hills of Donegal. This song was written by my brother, Kevin Barrymore, also known as Luca Bloom. 1847 was the year it all began. The deadly pains of hunger drove a million from the land. They journeyed not for glory, their motive wasn't greed, a voyage of survival across the stormy sea. Come on now, Joe, you're right. In the city of Chicago, come on, Dean. As the evening shadows fall, what do you think of that then, Joe Brawley? There are people dreaming of the hills of Donegal. I think the nuts are working on you. Okay, we'll pull it up there. Thanks, lads. Well done.
Brilliant, Christy. Thanks. Thank you.
I hope that works out okay for you.
That was great.
Go on, Milam, I've got the car. Sound is a bell. Sound as a fucking bell, yo.
Thank you, bro.
See you, kid.
Thank you.
Nice one.
Thank you, Christy. That was magic.
Thanks.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, inside. We'll be right back.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.